The Book Exchange in Morgantown, West Virginia, with locations in Evansdale and downtown, is everyone's shopping destination for the largest selection of WVU gear. But that's not all they have. While you're there, pick up some souvenirs, collectibles, textbooks, and the latest Cooper's Rock t-shirts. Check out their merchandise online at bookexchangewv.com. And during the month of June, enjoy 20% off on all West Virginia gear and souvenirs by applying the discount code WVTALK at checkout. Shop local, shop the Book Exchange since 1934. All right, once again, it's another edition of West Virginia Talk with James and Jerry. I'm James.
And I'm Jerry.
And a lot of response from our episode last week, the Strawberry Festival.
People love that thing.
It is our biggest 7-day download of any episode we've had.
Even the first 2 days. Like, after the first 2 days, I knew it was something big.
Blew up, dude. So, hey, this episode's not going to disappoint. We're going to be talking Babcock State Park. And if you don't know Babcock, I'm sure you've seen it. Or at least an iconic image of it.
Where is it?
It's near the New River Gorge. It's in Cliff Top, West Virginia. It's about 20 minutes away from the New River Gorge Bridge.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It's on Route 60, and it is definitely a place, if you are an amateur photographer, this is where you go. In a nutshell, this is our state. Like, it's a rustic scene.
Wrapped up in one picture.
Yeah, big time, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. And we'd like to thank the Book Exchange for helping us out again this week. So Babcock State Park, it was formed from two different CCC camps. Jerry, what's a CCC camp?
I have no clue, but I'm sure you're going to tell us.
I am. It is a civilian conservation camp.
That was right on the tip of my tongue. I was just about to say that.
Not a civilian conversation camp. That's what we do.
Right.
Civilian conservation camp. So what this was, it was an opportunity for millions of young men to get into the workforce to work on environmental projects during the Great Depression. And the CC camps were part of the FDR New Deal.
Okay.
So Roosevelt started this program, the CCC camp. And they went to work. They planted over 3 billion trees. Unfortunately, they all closed, okay?
Now, I think the two that this one occupies were Camp Beaver and Camp Lee, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yep. So both of those camps together encompass a lot of ground. Of course, none of the buildings that were there are there anymore. But the campground for Babcock State Park is where the Camp Lee was formerly located. So now Babcock State Park, 4,000 plus acres now. And this park has so much to offer. So you have the past of Babcock State Park and what it used to be. And then whenever they started Babcock, there wasn't a whole lot there to offer at first. And to help us find out exactly what they had to offer back in the early days in the 50s and 60s, we have a special guest. The Book Exchange in Morgantown may be a small family-ran business, but it's the state's largest retailer of mountaineer gear, downtown and in Evansdale, and online at bookexchangewv.com. Souvenirs, collectibles, textbooks, and Cooper's Rock t-shirts. Enjoy 20% off in June on all gear and souvenirs by applying the discount code WVTALK at checkout. Shop local, shop the Book Exchange since 1934. And now it's time for our special guest and someone who has been to Babcock State Park, but probably not someone that you would picture being at Babcock State Park. But that's why we're, you know, showcasing her, because she's someone who you would see there. So people who haven't been to Babcock State Park or this state in general, they just don't know who comes to our state to experience everything that the Mountain State has to offer. And this is why we're talking to her. Her name is Frances Park, a Korean American. She's been in countless interviews on Good Morning America, CNN, NPR, and you said Oprah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, one of the works from the book, That Lonely Spell, was published in Oprah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as she mentioned, she's the author of several books, including her latest, a memoir called That Lonely Spell. It's a collection of essays. And one of the essays is called Finding West Virginia. And this mm-hmm. caught my eye online, and I read it, and I'm like, this is exactly what I've been trying to say. And it, not to, you know, ruin the details for later in this segment, but she had, your mother had this calling to the state for some unknown reason, and we'll get to that here mm-hmm. in a little bit. So you got her back to West Virginia. She wanted to go back. Why?
I did get her back, but not to Babcock State Park.
Right, right, right.
She, we lost my dad in 1979. And so she was widowed pretty young. And after that, she would occasionally talk, and more through the years, about where was it that the family went for a summer vacation in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was only 9 at the time, and I had vague memories of it, but I didn't know where it was. And so often she would say, where is, don't you remember? Or I would come over to her house, and I would see her reading the Washington Post Friday section. And it had a little section where they talked about places you could stay at in other states. And I remember one of them being the Bavarian Inn in Shepherdstown. And she'd go, you think this is where we were? And I'm like, I don't know, but I don't think we stayed in anything that looked like, you know, a German chalet. You know, that was not my memory, but it was always that. Right. And when we would go driving around, I always took her somewhere every fall. My sister and I and her, we were like a caravan of souls for decades and decades after we lost our dad. I would take her somewhere every fall, a fall getaway. And we actually did go to Shepherdstown. We went to Charlestown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, oh, Harper's Ferry. And she would always be like, you think? And I'd be like, no, Mom, it's not. But I realized that it was because she wanted to recapture who she had been before. She wanted to remember being happy as a young mother, a wife with dreams all ahead of her when she wasn't a widow.
Well, let's go back. Let's talk about your parents in Korea and the whole backstory there. So this is at a time when there was no North or South Korea. This was Korea. And your mother came from affluent stock and your father did not. So let's talk about your parents and their backgrounds.
Okay. Well, my mother, of course, both of them, my mother in Northern Korea, because there was no North Korea. My dad in Seoul, in the southern part of the country, they were both brought up under Japanese rule. In 1947, when my mom was 16, she had to flee in the middle of the night. And she went by herself with a guide. And she made it over the border. And eventually, she would meet up with her dad, who was already there. Long story. And she would end up going to college and meeting my dad. And, you know, soon thereafter, you could not, she and her mom would write letters, but at one point everything was closed off, the Korean War. And then there was a North and South Korea. They got married in Korea. They actually married in the Blue House, which is the equivalent of the White House here, because my dad, although he was starving and only weighed 90 pounds, when he got married, he had a brain. Mm-hmm. He had a brain, and he had a gift of language. So he was interpreting to then President-elect Syngman Rhee, and he was only in college at the time, but he was hired and to be his press secretary, and he would talk to the Americans and then translate to the Koreans. Then they came here. the Korean War broke out, and they came here so my dad could go to school. He went to school at Harvard and was going to complete a PhD program, then return and become politically involved. But in the interim, Syngman Rhee was overthrown. Not that my dad sided with Syngman Rhee, but people associated him with him because he was hired by him as a starving student, you know.
Gotcha.
And he ended up staying here, not knowing if he was going to stay here forever, and getting a job at the World Bank down in Washington, D.C., which is how my family ended up here.
Mm.
And, you know, we would go back every 3 years, once every 3 years in the summertime. But he never, you know, lived in South Korea again.
So let's go to Babcock State Park. How did he even know that it existed?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I never really gave it much thought as a child. Mm-hmm. I did. It was kind of an unusual trip for us. But, you know, we went to beaches and everything. But like I said, my dad was someone who wanted us to experience everything. And thinking about the story, I am going to guess, and this is only because this is an afterthought, actually, even after I wrote this piece. I'm almost wondering, there was a Korean doctor who was the only doctor for the residents there. And because of that, he was beloved. And I'm thinking maybe there was a possibility that my dad either knew him, because you have to realize there were hardly any Koreans in the United States
mm-hmm.
in 1964, much less 1954 when my parents came. But
right.
I'm almost wondering if somehow he found out about that and gotcha. Felt that perhaps they would be welcoming to Koreans, because, you know, back then it's not like we were an everyday sight.
No, and that's, I'm going to reference something you said in the essay. Koreans mm-hmm. in the sticks in 1964, looking decidedly hillbilly.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the funny thing, because did you see the picture?
I did.
We do. We look like hillbillies. And I'm wearing a mismatched outfit, stripes and print.
Put your
and then my
nine.
Little sister Ginger, she just
put your nine.
I know, but you know, I don't remember any other picture of a family looking like that.
So in the piece, you said that it became fabled in your mom's mind, West Virginia. Here's a quote. Here was a World Bank wife who'd flown first class to Paris, Rome, and Hong Kong. Still, the call of West Virginia proved the loudest. This mm-hmm. is the quote that pulled me into this story, and I'm like, I have to get mm-hmm. in contact with the author and talk to her, because this is what we've been trying to tell people. There's something different about this state. In her last podcast, a gentleman we spoke to said, West Virginia's not a state, it's not a place, it's a culture. And once you're here, it leaves a little something inside of you that you want to come back later.
Well, I think my mom could be your spokesperson. Unfortunately, yeah. She passed away. But yeah, there was just something about West Virginia, if she ever heard the word, ever. It was like, where we were, you know. It was kind of tragic to me, because I did try. I can remember looking at, you know, just looking at the map, knowing that I would never be able to jog my memory. I mean, not unless somebody hypnotized me. I would never know where we were. But then the day after she died, I happened to open a drawer of hers and saw a map turned upside down. And I knew right then and there that was a West Virginia map.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rather dog-eared. And I found two magnifying glasses. And, you know, she spent a lot of time alone, because we all work. And I could just imagine her just, you know, with her magnifying glass, just trying to figure out where we were. And then a few days later, I was looking through pictures that I've looked through so many times before.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew this was going to be painful because my mother had just died, but I wanted to look at all the family photos. My hand goes into this box of countless photos, you know, from the 50s, mm-hmm. my family. And the first thing I pull up is this flat brown paper bag. And I open it, and it's telling me it's a slide of our family, and it has the name Babcock State Park. Actually, my dad spelled it wrong, and I think it's because O and A sound the same in Korean.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He normally didn't make misspellings.
Yeah, so he wrote Bobcock.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm like, why couldn't I have found this earlier? I could have taken her there. She would have wanted to go.
Well, you know, and I'm not saying this would have happened, but sometimes when you remember something from the past, you build up an almost unrealistic memory of it. And then when you go back to that place, you're like, it's just not the same as it was.
So maybe,
you know, her memory was better than going back to it ever could do justice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, because she would not be, you know, a 30-year-old woman.
Right.
Yeah, it might have been a sad reunion, you know, her going there.
Yeah, hard to say. Hard to say.
But I love the last line of this essay. I could only hope she found her West Virginia after all.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's really fitting with our state's, is it our official motto?
Yes.
Okay. It's almost heaven.
Yeah.
West Virginia's almost heaven. So.
Well, you know, it's funny because when Next Avenue posted the essay, they were, as the excerpt to my book, somebody wrote a comment, one of my Facebook friends, and she said something like, this is glorious. May we all find our West Virginia in the end.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you've had so much success as an author and some collaborations with your sister, Ginger Park, as well, doing some children's books, too.
Yes.
You have something that I would want to go visit when I'm in Washington, D.C. And not just the next time, but probably every time I go back to D.C. What is Chocolate Chocolate?
It is Washington, D.C.'s first independent chocolate boutique. We opened it, my mom, Ginger, and I, in 1984. Back when stores like that were unheard of. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Washington, all we had, you know, were, you know, drugstore chocolates, and which is fine. I think there was a Fannie Mae. But we wanted to introduce Washingtonians to chocolates from all over the world, all over the country. We wanted to do very fancy chocolates. We wanted to do very old-fashioned American chocolates. We wanted it all. And so we didn't know what we were doing. Literally, no business sense.
So honest.
At all. The blind leading the blind, wondering why hordes of Washingtonians weren't coming in that first day. If I was the age I am today and that was happening, I probably wouldn't be able to sleep. But we just ate more chocolate and we, you know, we just lasted until one day we found ourselves fairly successful.
I would say that you are fairly successful since you've been open for 38 years now.
God, that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
That is so hard to believe.
It's hard to believe that 1984 was 38 years ago.
And no. y'all really had a lot to overcome when you started that. I mean, the facility itself was not in the best of shape, was it?
Oh, well, we built out the store. Now, the contractor we hired, and this was our first location. We actually had to move in 2008, but just up the street, half a block. But the contractor we hired was a crook, and he took our money and ran, and he left the store in shambles, yes. And so we had to have it rebuilt. And that was, you know, 1984. So we were in a deep hole. I'm glad that we had no business sense and didn't worry that much. It was like, we're going to make it through this. We're going to eat more chocolate, you know.
It's a great example of how the American dream can work if you really put your heart and soul into it. Because at any time, y'all could have given up with all the adversities that y'all were facing, but yet y'all chose to persevere and to keep going.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of that was us just wanting to stay together. When we lost our dad, it was, you know, my family was different because we all depended on our dads, on my dad so much, so much. I mean, we were like this nucleus. And, you know, when he was gone, it was like, oh, no, we can't. You know, we have to stay together.
Right.
So there was really no question of that. And so we did. We just waited it out. And, you know, a lot of wonderful things have happened to us because of the store. I mean, we got on CNN because a customer arranged it. One of our children's books published by National Geographic, that was because of a customer. She happened to be the editor of children's books, and they wanted to commission us for a Coming to America story. We've just had so much luck that way. Our customers bring us luck. We always say that.
Well, it really helps that your clientele's right there in D.C. A lot of influential and affluential people in D.C.
That's true. That said, we have had a hard time the past 2.5 years.
I think everyone has.
Yeah.
I think everyone has.
Washington is so slow to come back, but it is improving.
Gotcha.
So we're very helpful.
Now, do you still make trips to West Virginia at all?
The last time I think I was in West Virginia was 2011. I was there. Oh, but I will be there again probably next month.
Really? Where are you going to be?
At Four Seasons Books. In Shepherdstown, West Virginia, they, again, a customer saw the Finding West Virginia, and she asked the bookstore owner if they would like to, you know, have an event for my book, and she said yes, so we're trying to figure out a date, but it will probably be July, so we're excited about that.
Okay, so what's the address for Chocolate Chocolate, by the way?
1130 Connecticut Avenue Northwest.
Got you. So you're right in the middle of the city.
Yeah, we're somewhat across from the Mayflower.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Now, not only have you been through, and like you said, you're possibly going to be in the state in July, which is super exciting to hear, and I know there's going to be a ton of people that want to come see you. You've made a lot of friends over the years. Can you tell us about some of the ones that you've met from the state of West Virginia and how maybe they've influenced your life or what they've added to it?
Well, another one of the pieces in my book is called Goodbye Tess. And Tess was a woman I met at the store. And she had lived in Charleston, West Virginia, I'm going to guess for about 30 years. And hers is a very interesting story. But anyway, she did get divorced and moved to D.C. But and we became really close. I mean, that's what the piece is about. She was like one of five people in my entire life that I just, we were like two candles as one, you know.
Right.
It's just, she was one of those people. And she broke her hip and leg, and she decided she needed to be moved back to near to where her kids were. And we begged her. We're like, oh, no, we'll take care of you. And she's like, I've got to go. I've got to go back home. So she went back home, and I actually flew out to visit her in Charleston. And we spent a weekend together. I just slept on her couch. And then she ended up moving to Morgantown later to be closer to a son, Mike. And then Mike and I became good friends. And, of course, Tess and I always stayed in touch, but then she passed away. And so my essay is about the fact that I didn't get to see her one more time.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. I have her son, Mike, sent me a video recording of her talking to me. Because I had sent her some chocolates, and her last words were, I love you, Frances. And then she, and I had marked down in my calendar the date to call her the following week, and she died. She died before then. But, you know, I just think it's funny because I text her son and I said, please tell her I love her. And he said, she just died right now, as soon as your text came in. And I don't know. I think you have those people you have such strong bonds with, you know. And then I have another friend named Beth, in current day. She lives in Washington now. And she was also from Charleston. And once I found out that we were in Babcock State Park, she's like, my family went there. And we figured out the dates. She was there right after. I think it was either the week or the month after my family was there in 1964.
What are the odds?
Yeah, really. We're like, oh my gosh, we just missed each other. But, you know, we're friends. We, you know, email every day and I just love her. So yeah, I have met some really nice people, and she's going to tell her friends who live in Shepherdstown to come see us when we're at the bookstore. And yeah.
And speaking of that book, it was That Lonely Spell, correct?
Right.
And where can readers and listeners of this podcast, where can they keep track of your future appearances?
Oh, I am at parksisters.com. Parksisters.com. And you can read about my books, Ginger's books, are the books that we wrote together, a forthcoming book, and all that jazz.
And if you're coming to visit anywhere in West Virginia and you're going through D.C., stop at Chocolate Chocolate on Connecticut Avenue.
That would be wonderful.
Now, I'm going to be there. I promise you will be there.
Yes, yes. We have to coordinate, though. I'm not there every single day.
You'll know when I'm coming. I'll let you know.
Okay. Okay, deal. What about Jerry? Are you coming?
I'd probably be more of a stretch because I usually don't leave the state of West Virginia.
Hey, true story. Okay. Real quick.
James will bring you chocolates back. Okay,
no, I'm taking them with me. I'm going to take them with me. True story, really quick. He went to D.C. with two of his sons back in March of 2019.
Yeah.
And, or 2020. It was 2020.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And guess who they asked to come be their tour guide? Me. And his boys made a comment to him on the metro out of the city. Uh-huh. If we ever come back here, he's coming with us.
Hey, very good.
They knew if I was in charge of getting us around a metropolitan area that we'd be completely lost and probably never find our way home again.
I'm like, we have to get off the red line here in Chinatown and get on the yellow line, and then we're getting on the green line. So yeah.
I'm sure you're much better than me because all I know is the parking lot to our store. I'm kidding, but
you have to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to get there. Well, I'll tell you what, it was a pleasure talking to you. Francis Park, author. How many books you have out now? 11?
I think 11.
11. Yeah. And then you have 5 with your sister Ginger.
Yeah. Well, that includes that.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. That includes that. And then we have a book forthcoming, and I may have another one. Fingers crossed. I don't know yet, but I may.
But once again, check out her latest, came out in March, That Lonely Spell. And once again, your website is?
Parksisters.com.
All right. Frances Park, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you for sharing your time and your experience.
It was my pleasure. I had a great time. Thanks, guys.
You betcha. If you want the best selection of Mountaineer clothing and West Virginia collectibles, look to the Book Exchange in Evansdale and downtown Morgantown. You can also shop their vast inventory online at bookexchangewv.com. Souvenirs, collectibles, textbooks, and Cooper's Rock t-shirts. Enjoy 20% off in the month of June on all gear and souvenirs by applying the discount code WVTALK at checkout. Shop local, shop the Book Exchange since 1934. So once again, that was our friend Frances Park, and we really, really enjoyed speaking with her.
She's fantastic. Oh, lovely lady.
So she has the technology to find out where Babcock is now instead of relying on an old map she found in a drawer. Of course, you can get online. And, of course, not only Babcock State Park, but all of West Virginia State Parks are on one website. You click on whatever one you want to explore. It'll tell you everything that it has to offer. So what does Babcock State Park have to offer? Well, biking. I love biking. Matter of fact, my son called me earlier today. He's on the Cheat Lake Trail.
Is he really?
Outside of Morgantown,
that's
yes.
That's fantastic.
Camping. And he mentioned camping, too, but his mother, I think, talked him out of it.
Why would she do that?
She doesn't want him outside by himself. You know, he is very helpless and young at the age of 23, almost.
You just never know nowadays. No. Crazy things are happening.
And if you're into geocaching, I know geocaching was like way bigger 10 years ago than what it is now, but it's still a thing.
I was going to say, it's still fairly big. It's maybe not talked about as much, but it's...
Right. Something I'm big into, fishing.
I love fishing.
Fishing, you got to love fishing.
Get the trout.
And, you know, fishing goes hand in hand with boating, and of course, it's... also available there. Hiking, if you love to walk and just in taking all the you know, the scenes at Babcock State Park, hiking's your thing. Something I'm too scared to do, rafting.
The rafting is technically at the gorge,
right?
Which, so you can't do it at Babcock, but just a short trip down the road, sure, you can go.
Now, Babcock State Park is separate from New, yes, River Gorge Park, but they're so close. If you're, I'm sure the New River Gorge is going to be your draw, but go to Babcock also, and try to be careful with the rafting, please.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so, Jared, we talked about the initial phase of Babcock State Park being two different civilian conservation camps, and what did it turn into after young Frances Park's trip there with her family in 64?
In 64, didn't it become a state park?
Yeah. Yeah, they were there the first year, but I'm talking about the iconic fixture at the park.
Oh, you're talking about the mill, Will.
That's it.
Yeah. They had the Glade Creek Grist Mill at Babcock and completed in 1976.
Right. And it's kind of a Frankenstein mill. And what do I mean by that?
Well, it was assembled because the original one, of course, it fell apart.
It's gone.
Yeah. So the one they recreated came from three different locations.
Mm-hmm.
So they pieced it all together. I believe one mill was located in around Petersburg.
Mm-hmm. One was in Pendleton County.
One in Pendleton, and a third one from Glade Creek.
Yeah.
That was the original one. So they used pieces from the original and then from Petersburg. And
I think Petersburg's... part of it was the wheel, right?
Yeah, that was the only thing that was left that was salvageable. Right. But I think that one came fell down due to a fire. Destroyed through a fire, and the wheel was the only thing left.
Right. And don't let it fool you, folks. This thing is operational. You can actually buy cornmeal and other things that this mill crushes up. It's an operational mill. You can buy the products that the mill produces. Right there. So, yeah, and we discussed this in the New River Gorge episode about where you can stay, where you can eat. If you're traveling along I-64 and you want to stay near the interstate, Beckley has plenty of places to stay and eat at. If you want to get a little closer to the New River Gorge Bridge, of course, go to Fayetteville. And once you go up above Fayetteville, you have Somersville. And Somersville Lake, you can stay. There are plenty of places to stay and eat at there. And Clifftop, just a short distance away from Fayetteville and Somersville. A little bit longer trip from Beckley, but it's not that far.
You know, something really cool, like you stated earlier, that if you go to the wvstateparks.com, mm-hmm, you can pull up all. And like you said, if you pull up Babcock's section, they actually have a spot on that webpage where you can live stream the Glade Creek Grist Mill.
Yes.
So if you can't make it there physically, go to this website and just check it out, because it is probably the most beautiful picture you're ever going to see in your life.
Right. So if you play, a lot of people bring drones now for that kind of thing.
Yes.
They actually have rules for drone photography.
They do. There's a limited hours in which you can operate, and then you can't be within certain distance of certain things.
Yeah, 20 feet. And people, if you're going to bring a drone, make sure no one else is around, because yeah, you're going to get good shots, but other people aren't, because there's going to be the beautiful Glade Creek grist mill with a drone in it. You know, it's not very picturesque. So, just Babcock, be respectful. Use some common sense. So, Babcock State Park, it's going to wrap it up for us, and just one of the most picturesque places in our state with the grist mill and the waterfall. And if you are an outdoorsy person or you would like to be, this is a great place to go and enjoy yourself. And once again, we want to thank Francis Park for joining us. Definitely going to take a trip down to Chocolate in D.C. D.C. has plenty of reasons to go visit them, but this is just the latest one for me. I also would like to thank the Book Exchange in Morgantown. They're helping us keep the lights on here as far as their show goes. Hey, people, this show costs money, so use that code WVTalk. Use that code WVTalk at checkout, and they're going to monitor how many times people use that code. And if all goes well, they'll keep us on for a sponsor, hopefully. You know, we can't keep doing this ourselves.
Oh, come on. I have no fear, no worries. They're going to love us.
I hope
just so. As much as we've loved them over the years.
Yep. So, and hey, if this is your first episode of West Virginia Talk, please check out our library of podcasts going back to late August last year. Yep. So, once again, that was Babcock State Park, and thanks to Francis Park and the Book Exchange in Morgantown. And thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, James.
I try. So, thanks for listening to West Virginia Talk, a J&J production.